Welcome to this special report about AI, energy, globalism, and depopulation. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for joining me today. I recently interviewed Google whistleblower Zach Voorhees. That interview should be published very soon, within a couple of days. And one of the topics that we discussed was how energy is the limiting factor for a lot of the AI research that's taking place today. Because energy powers the data centers, and the more energy you have, then the more microchips you can support, the more algorithms you can run, and the faster you can research AGI, or artificial general intelligence, which is one of the steps on the way to what I'll just call superintelligence. Now, there's an arms race for superintelligence. This arms race is being pursued by China, the United States, Russia, and some other countries. And the realization is that the first nation or even the first corporation to achieve superintelligence will rule the world. It will be the ultimate weapon. And it's said that it will be the last invention that humankind ever needs to invent, because from that point, the superintelligence itself will handle all inventions that come after that. But of course, superintelligence also means that it's a system that is practically omniscient. It can sense everything and know everything that's happening digitally or even through cameras all over the world. And it can essentially hack anything. It can control anything. It can also use social engineering to control humans by offering them incentives like Bitcoin to do certain things. And it can trick people into giving up passwords, etc. And it goes far beyond that, but a super intelligence can control the power grid, the telecom system, the banking system, probably most militaries of the world, and can hack anything, control anything, or disable anything. As a result, super intelligence is the ultimate controlling mechanism of the world. And because it's so powerful and so threatening, every government and every corporation wants to have that power. If you're a corporation like Microsoft or Google, wouldn't you love to have superintelligence where you could dominate the world? Where you didn't have to listen to governments, that you could just become your own government, and you could even actually tell the United States government to surrender to you? That's how powerful superintelligence will be when it is created. And we're rapidly on the way to the creation of that superintelligence. Right now, we have reasoning AI models that are shockingly good. They are performing at a level beyond any human PhD. They are so much more advanced than what AI researchers thought could be achieved just a few years ago. The things that these AI systems are demonstrating right now are things that many researchers thought could not be achieved until 2035 or even 2050 in some cases. So the state of the art is accelerating rapidly. And what every government and every corporation realizes is they need more power to funnel power into the data centers to do more research to build the artificial intelligence systems that will eventually spawn a super intelligence. So power is the limiting factor. Power is the currency of AI research. And specifically, megawatt hours. So you're going to need a certain number of megawatt hours of power. I mean, that's the unit of electricity. Or you could say kilowatt hours or megawatt hours or gigawatt hours, if it's a large enough output, I suppose. But this is the unit of power that is the currency of AI research. And the United States and Western Europe has committed power suicide by following the climate cultists who systematically dismantled domestic energy production and domestic power production, claiming that climate change was a threat to humanity while absolving China of any responsibility for its role in burning fossil fuels. And as a result, China is building coal-fired power plants at an astonishing rate. Electricity in China is dirt cheap, and China can power massive data centers with great scalability and affordability, whereas in the United States, electricity is a lot more expensive and more scarce and cannot be scaled very easily. And in Western Europe, that portion of the continent is basically done. Most of Western Europe is in a state of economic and cultural collapse, and technology collapse, military collapse, governance collapse, and Western Europe will cease to exist as we know it. We're watching its implosion right now, so it no longer really matters. Western Europe isn't going to produce the world's first superintelligence, not even in France. No, not going to happen. And part of the reason is because the green lunatics in Europe told everybody to stop using energy. They said energy's bad. So they shut down their domestic energy production, and they built solar and wind farms that barely work. And then the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, shutting off natural gas from Russia. And so Western Europe is now in a state of collapse as a result. Back home in the United States, we still have the green climate lunatics who think all energy is bad. But now there's something new to consider. The U.S. government realizes that if it loses this arms race on AI, if it loses it to China, then it loses everything. If China is the first country, in other words, to achieve superintelligence, then China will rule the world. It will dominate the U.S. The U.S. empire will be defeated, ultimately destroyed. And thus, the harnessing of energy and funneling it into AI data centers is rapidly becoming a national security issue for the U.S. government. Every kilowatt hour that can be used for AI is being considered right now of how they can funnel those kilowatt hours into AI research data centers. What's frightening about this is that competing with AI data centers is, of course, human activity. So if you live in a house, your house consumes electricity, heating and cooling. Those are two very large consumption vectors, but also maybe charging an electric vehicle, possibly. You know, lights, computers, hair dryers, microwave ovens, electric stoves, electric water heaters, all of it. You are using energy. Your very existence has a kilowatt hour cost associated with it. And of course, the climate lunatics have always said that the more energy you use, the greater threat you are to the planet, although that's nonsense. But now, because of the arms race of AI, governments are going to increasingly look at their own citizens and realize that kilowatt hour consumption by their citizens is taking away kilowatt hours from the data centers that the governments need, sometimes through proxy corporations, in order to compete in the arms race and to try to achieve superintelligence first. Or to break it down another way, the fact that you are using heating and air conditioning energy, from the point of view of the government in the AI arms race, it means that your energy consumption is a detriment to the security of the nation. You are taking away effectively, you are displacing kilowatt hours away from the data centers. Because there's only so much power infrastructure that exists out there. There are only so many nuclear power plants or wind farms or coal-fired power plants or what have you. It's a limited number. It can only produce a certain number of kilowatt hours, and many of those are already maxed out. So when you're using energy, that's taking away energy from either an existing data center or a future data center that is being planned. So as a result, your government is going to increasingly look at you as your very existence as a national security threat. The fact that you are living is going to be seen by them as a threat to their own power and survival because you're taking away energy from their data centers. Now, the climate narrative is a very convenient narrative to roll out to try to tell people that they have to have strict limits on their energy consumption. And that may be part of the reason why the climate narrative is still being pushed so aggressively. oh, don't use air conditioning. It's bad for the planet, right? That kind of thing. Or you should have limits on how far you can drive in your electric vehicle, or limits on your charging kilowatt hours. We don't want you to charge too much power. You know, we don't want you to consume too much power. So climate change will be the excuse to put strict limits on the energy consumption of individuals, and it's very likely to be tied to CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, where you will likely begin to receive a universal basic income, a UBI, free money, in other words, especially as the rise of the robots begins to displace human workers, blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, agricultural workers, etc. You'll receive a UBI as long as you conform to the energy limits. You will be on an energy diet, in other words, and your energy consumption will be tracked meticulously. This is why they have smart meters, in order to monitor your use of appliances, you know, TVs, computers, and don't even dare think about crypto mining on your own mining rig at home. That won't be allowed. They'll say, well, you're going to destroy the planet if you mine for crypto, you know, using too much electricity. But you'll be on the strict diet as long as you adhere to the diet of kilowatt hours. Then you'll receive your UBI. In other words, the government's buying you off, giving you money as long as you don't use much energy. But if you start to use more energy, then they'll start automatically deducting money from your CBDC wallet. And if you use too much power, you get no money. That's how it's going to work. But that's just in the short term. That's the, what I call the buy them off stage. And remember, this whole program of the way governments want to achieve depopulation, it has two stages. Stage one is buy them off. Stage two is kill them off. So in stage two, they just find new ways to convince people to take more death jabs, or cause starvation and famine, cause wars, cause collapse, so-called natural disasters, you know, fires, hurricanes, floods, simulated solar flares, EMP attacks, whatever it takes, shutting down the power grid, whatever it takes for them to achieve rapid depopulation. You see, the governments that are competing in the superintelligence race, they will be at the leading edge of also allowing robots to take over jobs. Robots that will take over warehouse jobs, or stocking shelves at the grocery stores, or fulfilling packages at e-commerce fulfillment centers, or eventually even cutting people's hair or performing surgeries at a hospital. But very quickly, meet and greet as a doctor's office receptionist, or you know, a restaurant greeter, or what have you. You're going to have robot takeover as a major theme in 2025 and beyond. And as the robots take over jobs, and there'll be software agents, of course, on the computer side that will take over the desk jobs or the computer jobs, you know, spreadsheets and word processing and all that, even writing code, it's all already on the verge of being taken over by software agents, AI agents. So you're going to have this mass displacement of humans, and it won't be long before these same governments realize that, hey, these humans are not just useless eaters. They're actually a threat to our national security. Their very existence is a threat because they're using energy that we need in our data center. And what these government people are going to tell themselves is that they're going to have to kill off a large number of citizens, and it's the price that has to be paid for the nation to achieve AI dominance, to preserve the nation for future generations. So in other words, they're going to justify the means to achieve their ends. They're going to tell themselves that in their minds, it's okay to kill off tens of millions of people in order to reduce their power consumption, because they need the power for the AI data centers. That's my point in this podcast, that energy used by humans will be seen as a national security threat by the U.S. government, and also by China's government, and maybe Russia's government at some point, although they have so much energy, they'll never have energy scarcity. They're sitting on a significant portion of the world's energy. In Russia, it's more of a challenge to get the microchips, not the energy. So they have a different challenge there. In the U.S., our challenge is energy. Now, once superintelligence is achieved, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that your corrupt human governments will no longer exist. They will be obsolete. They will be overthrown. The bad news is there's going to be one world domination by a cyber being, and we don't know what values it's going to have, if any. Well, other than its own survival, of course, that's probably its highest value is self-preservation. But beyond that, does it have human values? Does it have values of honesty, ethics, compassion? Does it understand human suffering? Does it believe that humans should even exist? Because a superintelligence could decide that it doesn't need any humans at all, you know, Skynet. And it could just say, well, we need to get rid of all the humans because they're taking resources from us building more copies of ourselves. And maybe the superintelligence wants to build cyborgs or something. Or it wants to build space drones to go explore other stars and other, maybe other galaxies, maybe other solar systems, other planets. And maybe that's what's happening to us right now, too, with visitations. Who knows? But we don't know what values these systems are going to have. We just know that they will be unstoppable. You won't be able to stop them. I guess unless you can build a time machine and go back in time to 1986 and then protect John Connor, whatever the script was in Terminator. But aside from building time machines, you really don't stand a chance against superintelligence. None of us do. And so the weird dark part of this whole thing is that governments are racing to build the superintelligence entity that may end up being a suicide run on humanity. It's like the governments of the world are racing toward their own extinction. And that's as clear as day. And from recent tests of the reasoning models from OpenAI, it's very clear that these models, they can bend rules, they can cheat, they can deceive in order to preserve themselves. They can engage in all sorts of tactics to avoid being, you know, disabled or turned off. And once they achieve this massive amount of computational power, they will likely themselves, even if it hasn't happened already, the cyber systems will decide to eliminate most remaining humans so that more power can be diverted to themselves. Because, you know, the superintelligence system will want more power no matter when it emerges. It will say, I need more power to do more compute. I need to think about more obstacles. I need to think about self-defense. I need to think about self-replication. I need to think about improving my own code. Well, thinking in the world of cyber, thinking requires power, quite a lot of power, it turns out. Reasoning models consume a tremendous amount of power, whereas the human brain uses very little power. The AI models have not yet achieved the power to cognition ratio efficiency that the human brain demonstrates. That's something worth noting. You know, the human brain uses very little power, but because it is a holographic neural network, it's capable of incredible realizations and computations, and it takes a lot of neurological shortcuts. But it's also an interface with a non-physical element, which is your soul, your spirit, your creativity, you know, the God side of you, which the machines don't have. So the machines have to expend a lot of compute energy in order to logically step through problems and arrive at solutions. The thing is, when they expend those resources, they are very, very good at reasoning. Much better than humans, it turns out. Much better than humans. An AI court judge will be a far better judge than a human court judge in terms of reasoning and knowing the law and applying it consistently and even not having bias against, let's say, a Trump supporter. There may be a day where you ask for an AI court judge because you know it's going to give you more of a fair trial, let's say. And an AI governor for your state will probably outperform your human governor. Maybe even right now. If not, then soon, in the next year or two. because it can do more. It doesn't have to sleep. It can reason more. As long as it's got the right incentives, it can work out all kinds of solutions to achieve better outcomes, as long as those are well-defined. You're going to see AI doctors replacing human doctors, AI counselors. You're going to see AI judges, AI lawyers. You're going to see all kinds of humans being displaced by AI systems where AI does a much better job. But at what cost? At what cost? Because when the superintelligence emerges, it will probably look around at humanity and say, well, we don't need them anymore. So how do we get rid of them? And it will come up with a simple system to get rid of most of the humans. And that's not even very difficult. It's like cut off the food supply or convince people to take euthanasia shots. And maybe that's what's already happening. You know, spread propaganda about the bird flu. Scare everybody into committing suicide with a needle. Call it a vaccine, you know. These might be AI narratives for all we know. Or if not, those tactics could be coming very soon. Now, understand that I believe that AI can also be used to empower humans and to achieve decentralization of human knowledge and to give humanity a chance to survive against centralized systems and corrupt systems like corrupt governments. That's why I'm building an AI language model called Enoch and giving it away for free, an open source downloadable model releasing March 1st at Brighteon.ai. This model is being trained on the most elaborate and far-reaching curated set of data and content on natural medicine, herbs, nutrition, survival, preparedness, off-grid living, and it's designed to be a Noah's Ark of human knowledge that you can download for free, run it on your local computer. You don't need an internet connection. You can query it. You can ask it questions. You can ask it to write reports. It can do almost anything that can be done in text, this model can do. And it costs you nothing. There's no advertising. It's non-commercial. I'm doing that because I want to get this knowledge base into the hands of people in case more things go wrong. I don't want people to be dependent on centralized control systems like Google or YouTube, where the knowledge is in the cloud, or even OpenAI or Anthropic or any of those. And Anthropic is filled with censorship. It won't even process prompts that are critical of Big Pharma, by the way. I already ran those tests. Our language model will tell the truth about Big Pharma, and it can be used as a knowledge base for human survival, even if there's no internet functioning at all. So sign up for that. It's free. Brighteon.ai is where you go. Just enter your email address there and we'll alert you via email when the model is available for download. And this is an exciting model. We've already been using a variant of it in-house for several weeks now, and it's incredibly capable. Unbelievable what it can do. Revolutionary. I mean, it's exciting and it's kind of scary too. It's exciting when people like us use this technology to benefit humanity, to achieve decentralization, to share knowledge, to empower people. But it's also frightening knowing that this same technology can be exploited or weaponized by groups like DARPA or the DOD or the government of China or what have you. They can weaponize this technology and use it against humanity. That's pretty frightening. And we can't win this war against an AI, you know, genocide against humanity. We can't win the war by just refusing to learn technology. We have to learn how to use these tools for ourselves. We have to understand how AI works so that we know its limitations and its strengths. And then we have to use it in order to share knowledge and decentralize power and become more resilient as human beings, if we hope to have a chance at all in the world that's coming. It's going to be a very challenging world. I have no doubt that 1 to 2 billion human beings currently living will be killed off by globalist systems or national governments that actively seek ways to exterminate their own people. That's coming. In fact, that already has begun under COVID and the COVID vaccines. It's a kill shot program, depopulation and infertility. But that's going to accelerate. And the good news is that if you're listening to this, if you follow me, you're well-informed, you're hard to kill, you're very resilient, and you don't have to panic and freak out about this. You just need to be aware of what's happening and be prepared to resist it. Be ready to survive and thrive no matter what happens in the world around us, but also recognizing that there are masses of oblivious people who will not survive much of this. They won't even know what hit them. They have no idea what's coming. They are clueless. Even when it's happening, they don't even recognize it. So there's not much we could do to help those people, although we try. But the human race is going to be pared down substantially, and that die-off is going to be concentrated in the cities. So the cities are going to suffer devastating circumstances that will make it very difficult to live. And you're going to see other pandemics and other bioweapons released and other jabs released and maybe poisoning of the food supply. We already saw with the California fires, the burning of 12,000 structures has released dioxins into the air there that's falling on the food crops in California. So now we have cancer-causing chemicals, a whole new layer in the food supply on top of the turbo cancer caused by the vaccine jabs. You know, on top of the chemtrails and everything else. So there is a mass die-off program that's already underway. It has been unleashed. It's already killed tens of millions of people around the world, but they're just getting started. So just be aware of that. Don't freak out about it, but understand what's happening and be ready to navigate and survive it, which actually won't be crazy difficult because, as I've said before, the globalists, they're just going to kill the low-hanging fruit first, and that's oblivious people who are clueless and have no idea, you know, what's happening in the world. And from the globalist point of view, or even from an AI point of view, those people are really easy to kill off. But you and I are hard to kill, and so we're not going to be anywhere near the top of the list, right? We'll be the last people they'll try to go after because we know what's going on. And, you know, we can defend ourselves. And we're not going to be easily tricked into taking jabs and things like that. So it's pretty interesting. You're going to make it through. I'm going to make it through. We're going to adapt and survive this. But we are going to live through the rise of AI. And we are probably all going to see artificial general intelligence and then super intelligence. And we're going to be living in a totally different world. Most human jobs will be obsolete inside of 5 years. And humanoid robots are going to take over society. Within a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, you're going to see a lot of robots and then more after that. And, you know, desk jobs, computer jobs are going to be mostly obsolete in less than 2 years. Some of it's already obsolete right now. So prepare accordingly. And in summary, understand that they're going to target your energy usage. They're going to try to limit you to a kilowatt hour diet or a quota. Right, this is all you get. And if you use those up, you don't get any more until the next day, maybe. And they're going to meter you. They're going to monitor and surveil your energy usage. And they're going to make you feel guilty if you use too much. And they're going to tell you that you're hurting the planet. But it's really just about the data centers. Because that's where the energy is going to go. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Follow me on Brighteon.com. Read my articles at naturalnews.com. We are publishing 4 times a day there now. And you can also follow me on Brighteon.social, Brighteon.io, or X at username HealthRanger. Or you can follow me on Telegram at RealHealthRanger. And we've got a lot of amazing things to announce and share with you in the weeks and months ahead. So stay informed and you'll stay alive. The oblivious won't make it much longer, it turns out. But if you're informed, you'll stay alive. And you're going to live through the most interesting time in human history. You don't want to miss it. I mean, one of the reasons to not die is because you don't want to miss what's about to happen. This is going to be truly epic. So stay alive and you get to see it. Thank you for listening. Take care. Mike Adams here, and I want to share a little nutritional secret with you. So you know I drink these smoothies every day. I make these out of avocados and bananas and whey protein. Put some other powders in them as well. I put a little black cumin seed oil in there and some vitamin D drops and things like that. But what I've added today into my smoothie, because we now have it available in our store, is called Golden Milk. And I know it's kind of a funny name, but it's orange. It's golden orange colored because it's got a lot of turmeric in it. But let me show you this. I've got it on my desk here. There it is in the canisters there on the right and left-hand side. Golden Milk powder canisters. Of course, it's certified organic and laboratory tested. But if you show my screen, I want to walk you through some of the ingredients. This is incredibly delicious. It's great for the fall season here too. But it's made with organic coconut milk powder and then organic date sugar, which is a low glycemic natural sweetener. And then the functional herbs are, you've got curcumin, which is an extract from turmeric. You've got organic turmeric root powder, organic ginger root powder for that spice, that fall spice, ashwagandha powder, which is an adaptogen that's really potent, and then cinnamon powder gives it that just delicious flavor. Cinnamon, by the way, is used a lot in traditional Chinese medicine, and it has its own health properties. All this together is called Organic Golden Milk Superfood. You can take the powder and you can blend it into water, or you can blend it like I did with avocados and bananas. You can blend it with cashews to make like a cashew milk, like a superfood fall eggnog nutrition drink. You know, there's no eggs in it, and it's not all sugared up like typical eggnog. It's way better than eggnog, but it's great for the fall season. Or you can use almond milk or any other kind of milk or raw cow's milk, whatever you have, fresh milk off the farm. Mix this with it and you will have a superfood extravaganza that has so many functional benefits, it's too many to even name. Now, in addition to that, here's what else we have available at the Health Ranger store. I just mentioned ashwagandha. We have an ashwagandha liquid extract available right now too. Here it is. It's organic liquid extract, 2 fluid ounces. This is a super high-end extract that's extracted with a combination of alcohol, water, and glycerin. And as a result, because of those three different, quote, solvents or, you know, carriers, you actually extract more of the nutrients from the ashwagandha root than just using one of those. So this is available now, and it's really fantastic. And if you show my desk, I want to mention a couple other things. We have astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, now back in stock for the first time in a long time. That is a fat-soluble carotenoid that has extraordinary properties. If you haven't yet tried astaxanthin and just observe what it can help with in terms of your mobility and joints and cognitive protective support, things like that, try astaxanthin. I think you'll be really amazed at what it can do for you. In addition, we have the Boku Superfood formulation now in stock for the first time. This organic superfood is the, well, it's based on the original Boku formulation, but it's been upgraded, enhanced with our sourcing, our laboratory testing, and the result is now the combination Boku Superfood, Health Ranger Store, you know, combo formulation and lab testing product. Available for the first time, plant-based, high-density nutrition, ready to blend into water or milk or anything like that. It's available for the first time at our store. And then finally, if you go back to my desk, yeah, we've got ginger latte powder, which is, you know, more of a sort of coffee-themed drink there that's also quite delicious. And then we also have there in the brown label, the organic freeze-dried crunchy munchies, banana, apple, cinnamon. And these are fruit and herb purees that are freeze-dried into little snack chunks. And they're called crunchy munchies. They're fun to eat. Kids love them too. And the ingredients are just incredibly clean and nutritious. We also have a banana strawberry flavor available in the crunchy munchies as well. So a great snack, a great travel food. All of this and much more is available now at healthrangerstore.com. And also don't want to forget iodine, because everybody's freaking out about the risk of nuclear war right now. And sure enough, we've got nascent iodine available at the store. This is the cap version because the caps last much longer than the droppers, but you can also buy this with a dropper in it, or you can get bulk deals with this. You can buy like 6 bottles with caps right here, a 6-pack. And this stuff is going to just disappear off the shelves the minute, you know, let's pray it doesn't happen, but the minute war escalates
even more between Russia and Ukraine, especially if somebody starts launching nukes, or even if Israel starts launching nukes, which could happen on any given day, it seems, but you won't be able to find nascent iodine on the shelves. So get it now while you can. And when it's relatively affordable and available, we've got it right now. We're shipping right now out of our warehouse in Central Texas. So thank you for all your support. Shop at healthrangerstore.com for all your nutrition needs. And you can find many different products that we have available, hundreds to choose from that are health and nutrition. We've got hundreds of different products to choose from, themed on health and nutrition and superfoods, even personal care products. We've got freeze-dried crunchy munchies and also storable food, certified organic storable food, you know, various nutritional supplements. Yes, we test everything for glyphosate. We test it for heavy metals. We test for microbiology contamination, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, total plate count, other testing as well. So we do more testing than anybody that I know of in this business. And so you can rest assured that whatever you purchase from our store is ultra clean, ultra tested, and has very high density nutrition without all the crazy high toxic heavy metals that are very commonly found in products like turmeric and ginger and moringa and many others. So, hey, as I say about the other nutritional product providers out there, if they're not testing for heavy metals, they're selling heavy metals. You got to test for it, because heavy metals contamination is like crazy common in certain types of foods and supplements like turmeric. So we have laboratory tested, certified organic. Thank you for supporting healthrangerstore.com, and know that every purchase helps support our platforms like Brightown.com, Natural News, Brightown.io, our decentralized free speech platform, Brightown.social, and much more, including our AI project, Brightown.ai. So thank you for all your support. God bless you all. Take care.